Joining us on the phone right now, Tom Moore, Sixers beat writer for PhillyBurbs.com. Tom, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, Tom.
Sure. How's it going, guys?
Not bad. Tom, we're talking Sixers, so kind of let's keep it going. You know, we're glad that we have you on because you cover this team as a beat writer, you know, day in and day out. Are you surprised at this 12-5 start for the Sixers this year?
A little bit, I would say. I mean, it's kind of been the perfect storm in that, you know, with the lockout and the compressed schedule, they have, the same team back, the same coach back, the same system back. When you go around the league, there's so many new coaches and new key players that it kind of taken some time, you know, to kind of figure things out. And also, you know, they've had, they've played a lot of sub-500 teams, especially, you know, at home. So they've kind of been taking advantage of, you know, and then, you know, they have three more losing teams this week. They could conceivably be 15-5 after they played the Pistons on Saturday. But then the next, I think it's the next 14 games, there's 11 winning teams, and most of them are elite teams and only three losing teams. So I think you'll get a better barometer, you know, at the end of February to see where they are in that next 14-game blocks after, you know, after these three. But I would say pleasantly surprised. I think I picked them to, I think I picked 36 and 30. You know, they're probably going to exceed that, but, you know, injuries and things like that, you know, and they go in a little tailspin, things can change. So while it's been, you know, encouraging and a lot of really good things, you know, they're still, you know, the bulk of the season, I guess, 49 games to go.
Right. And speaking of, you said you were pleasantly surprised. Is there a particular player or two that surprised you the most so far out of the guys on the roster?
Well, I mean, he's missed the last four games, but I would say Hawes really has been a big surprise in that how much of a factor and a double-double guy he was, you know, in the 12 games that he played and, you know, a difference maker, you know, rebounding and scoring and, you know, getting other guys involved. And he just looks just thinner and just what he said it's the first time in his career that he's had the same coach for a second season. This is his fifth year. Because he was out in Sacramento for 3 years. I think that's part of it. And he's also playing for a contract. And guys tend to play better because their future, you know, is on the line. So I would say he's probably the, you know, the biggest surprise. I thought Elton Brand probably would drop off a little bit from last year, and he has. But it really hasn't hurt the Sixers, you know, that much. Vucevic would be probably another pleasant surprise. Again, you know, he missed the game the other night, and he's a game-time decision for tomorrow night, as is Hawes, but he, you know, just how acclimated he got so quickly and how comfortable he seems out there playing, whether he's playing with the first team or the second team. So I would say really the big guys are probably the biggest, you know, pleasant surprises so far.
Tom, speaking of the big guys, like recently with the rash of injuries and the difficulty of the Sixers, like playing against a team with size, like, do you see them adding a big man? I know you just wrote a post about them looking at Francisco Elson.
Yeah, they're apparently going to bring some big guys in Thursday to take a look at. Now, contracts aren't guaranteed until February 10th, so what you could do is you could sign a guy to a non-guaranteed deal, and then you have to decide on February 10th. So, it would give them a couple weeks to take a look at somebody. Elson's coming in. Rod Thorne and I were kind of playing a game where he doesn't want to tell me, slash he says they're still putting the list together, but I know it's not Etan Thomas. And there was two guys that I asked him about, you know, that it's, you know, they said it wasn't, and I'm sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head the other guy. But, you know, it's kind of journeyman big bodies just to have another, you know, guy there. They only have 13 guys under contract, and you can have 15. So, you know, I would think they would take a look at some, you know, some journeyman-type big guys, seven-footers, just to see if another big body, you know, might help them out. I mean, normally with Hawes' injury, with a strained Achilles, you know, you sit and you can get over it. But there's so many games now, I think they're being very cautious because they're afraid they bring him back soon and he gets aggravated. And, you know, you miss 2 weeks, that could be 8 or 9 games with this schedule. So they really are trying to kind of take it easy and err on the side of caution.
Tom, I know, like, is it possible for them to use, I mean, Andres Nocioni as some trade bait? Because he's rendering himself practically worthless on the Sixers. Like, he can't even get run, like, when they're up 30. Like what?
Well, you know what? Collins does that. It's a little strange, but he views it as he thinks, at least the way he tells us, when they're up big, to throw a veteran in at the end of the game, he sees almost as pointless. So he'll put a guy like Brackens or Lavoie Allen, a young guy, again, this is what he tells us. And he's, you know, I have no reason to believe that he's not telling the truth, because he seems like he does. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of weird because he's in the last year of his contract, and there used to be a big, big market for that. But things have kind of changed with the new CBA and the situation and the cap not going up and may not go up again next year, or might go up a little bit, that, you know, there's some value to have an expiring contract, but not as much as there used to be. Teams are trying to get under the cap. I mean, Dwight Howard could be a free agent and Deron Williams could be a free agent. I mean, they're big, obviously big names, but Dwight Howard says he only wants to go to three teams, and Deron Williams didn't want to go to Boston because he wouldn't, Chris Paul didn't want to go to Boston because he wouldn't sign an extension. So people have these ideas of what they want to do and where they want to go and so on. So, you know, I don't know. He's tough. He's physically tough. And I think, you know, if somebody does get hurt, I actually thought he might play a little four last night with all the injuries and being so small. I think he will play some spot minutes here and there. He did play last week when they were shorthanded and played six pretty decent first half minutes. But, he's like the, 11th guy or 12th guy now, the way things are.
Who's not 11th or 12th guy? Evan Turner. The last couple weeks, it seems like he's just, found this, newfound, I guess, confidence. Tom, do you like what you're seeing out of Evan, and can he keep it up?
Yeah, I think, he's always apparently been just a kind of a slow starter in high school, college, and the pros. Apparently the same thing happened. He comes in and he's not a take charge kind of I'm the man guy. He's a guy who really tries to fit in and kind of feels his way around. Yeah, he was really going to the basket. I guess it was the Denver game they lost in overtime. You know, he had 9 in the fourth quarter and was getting to the rim and just right hand, left hand, getting knocked to the floor and just really looked, assertive and confident and sure, you know, and just comfortable out there. It gives Collins a good, if Meeks is hot, Meeks doesn't usually play at the end of games unless he's really hot. And then you have to choose between Lou Williams, Holiday, and Turner. Usually only two of those three guys are out there because Iguodala's usually out there. And then usually it's Thad Young. And it used to always be Brand. And now, Hawes has played so well. He's been playing at the end of games some, and Vucevic a little bit. So he does have, I think 9 or 10 guys who he feels really comfortable with and that, he can utilize in different situations and be fairly confident that, going to get some production out of him.
Right. And speaking of another young guy, let's talk for a little bit about Jrue Holiday. This year his assists are down, his rebounds are down. His shooting percentage is a slight bit off from last year. Are you concerned at all about Jrue Holiday, or do you think this is just part of the growing process?
Yeah, the turnovers, he has had a tendency. He did it last year, and he's doing it this year too. He tends to commit them in groups, and he in the first half the other night, there was one possession where he drove in, and he looked like he had no idea what he was doing. He tried to force the ball, and it was stolen. The turnovers, I know, is the thing that really Doug Collins really harps on the most because, you turn over, you don't even have a chance to score, And the Sixers lead the league in fewest turnovers. They did it last year, and they're leading it again this year. I haven't really even noticed, to be honest with you, that his numbers are down, that much. Part of it, maybe that other guys are up, i.e. Turner and some other guys, too. He has scored. He's been a little streaky scoring, scoring the ball. He's had stretches where he's, hit some shots and other stretches where he hasn't. But, I hadn't really even realized it, to be honest with you. Maybe over a longer segment of time or maybe by the end of February when we get to, when we get to 30 games, that almost half the season, maybe that would be a better barometer of everything with him and also with his team.
Right. No, that's a very fair point. It's really hard to, like I said, it's really hard to evaluate these guys, you know, again, with this compressed schedule and the fact that, you know, you're playing so many games and so many nights, and a lot of guys are probably, you know, dealing through injuries. I mean, scoring itself is off in the entire league, so it's kind of hard to, you know, numbers are probably going to be down across the board, you know, once we kind of sit back and are able to kind of view this season as a whole.
Well, look at the Celtics game. Like, excuse me, look at the Celtics game last night. You know, they beat Orlando, I think it was 87-56. And I think what's going to happen, I think you'll see more this year, guys, is teams that are playing the fourth game in five nights or fifth game in six nights and they get down in the game, you may see garbage time early. The coaches just kind of pack it in and figure this is a loss. There's no reason in trying to squeeze a very unlikely win when we're down 20 at halftime or whatever against the team or worse, that you may see, you know, some real lopsided games. I mean, the Sixers, they have one win by fewer than 10 points the whole year. They're 11-1, and they're in double-digit games, and they're 10-1 against losing teams. So they're doing a real good job, and they're hammering. I mean, the Wizards, it's a shame. I saw a Sixers official last night at halftime, and I said, it's too bad you can't play these guys 82. And he said, he laughed, and he said, well, actually, this year we'd only need them 66 times because, the lockout, it's a shorter schedule. But, I think you're going to see more of these just 110 to 79 games, just teams just getting hammered given all the games. I mean, they're averaging more than a game every other day, which is, they're playing basically like an extra game a week. Which is a lot over a long season like that.
Yeah, we're on with Tom Moore, Sixers beat writer for PhillyBirds.com. Tom, just a couple more questions before we let you go. With the favorable portion of the schedule just about over, we talked about the rest of the week before Orlando and Miami and Chicago come in. But let's kind of look at the big picture in terms of wins and losses. Over the 66 games, you think? I mean, I want to kind of put you down on a number: 38, 39 wins.
I said 30. I said 36 to start the season. I would think I'll say 39 right now. You don't want to get too caught up, although some signs are really good, and they're defensively they're playing so well. And that's the big thing, I think, because the offense is kind of – you're going to have good days and not as good days. But, I mean, that was the whole thing with Larry Brown's teams. They could shoot 38% and win because they'd win 76-73. And this team seems to have that. They're holding teams in the average is like in the low mid 80s. And when you do that, you're going to always have a chance to win. And that's, that's the big thing. But yeah, I'd say 39 now. Like I said, you don't want to get too happy and think, my God, there could be 15-5 on Saturday and project that over the season. But when you look at the quality of the competition, to be fair, it's unbelievable in February. I mean, they play Oklahoma City, they play Miami again. They play the Spurs, they play just about every elite team in either conference. They play the Mavericks. I'll up it to 39 at this point and kind of, and have the right to – it may go up or down again after, let's say, the end of February. Maybe we'll have a better idea.
Exactly. We won't hold you to 39, but if we have you on later in the season, we'll definitely have the revised update. Just one last thing. I saw your Twitter feed was blown up earlier today. What's the deal with the yoga, the Sixers and the yoga?
I think what it is, guys, is when they have a practice in between games and with all these games and everything like that, rather than going out there and trying to get them to go through stuff, I think it's just kind of almost a diversion and doing something as a group. They did it last Tuesday, and now this Tuesday, the strength and conditioning coach, Jesse, there was a lady that he knew, I guess, or he suggested, and they brought in, and I guess they really liked it. I guess Iguodala and some of the key players. Iguodala has done yoga before, and he likes it, and I guess Williams and some of the other guys, like it too. And they just do it for half an hour, and literally that was the practice. I was playing ping pong with one of the other writers up in waiting for the curtain to open, and we heard Mike Preston yell out, you can come down now, guys, at like 11:35. So I think it's just kind of just to do something different as a group, but with physically not wearing them out and not getting out on the court and trying to do again. I mean, they have four games in 6 days this week. They play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So I think at a certain point, it's almost counterproductive to go out there and have them do, you know, do too much. You know, tomorrow they'll have a shoot around and they'll walk through things with the Nets do and things like that. And then, you know, with the game, I have to tell you, I don't know if you saw, I tweeted that Spencer Hall said, we're trying to get our chi right.
Right.
You know, that they were talking about positions that you do, the Douglas down or something like that, which I have no idea. Apparently, Holiday's not very good at it, and you know, they were surprised that some of the big guys are actually not bad, and some of the little guys you'd think would be very flexible, like Holiday, are not very good at it because they've never done it before. So it's totally new to them. They asked Holiday, you know, about how relaxing it was, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "The 5 minutes where we lay there afterward is very relaxing."
Oh man, it's definitely a cool thing. Like you said, it's one of those things that, you know, you do as a team, but it kind of, you know, saves you from the, you know, the rigors of, you know, practicing or playing games day in and day out. So it's definitely a cool deal. Tom Moore, Sixers beat writer for PhillyBurbs.com. Again, PhillyBurbs.com. Check out his work. Also, do not forget to follow him on Twitter. His handle was TMoorePBurbs. Tom, thanks for joining us tonight.
Anytime, guys. You take care.
You too. That was Tom Moore from PhillyBurbs.com, the Sixers beat writer, again, for PhillyBurbs.com. Check him out. Absolute awesome stuff in PhillyBurbs.com. He has, like, the videos after the games and all that stuff as well. So very cool stuff. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more basketball, and we got a lot more to talk about. So you are listening to the Broad Street Line here on Blog Talk Radio.